out there, oh, a peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk. Welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today I've invited Brother Kieran for a Zoom recording. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
And kia ora beate.
Brother Kieran Finn is a Champagne brother and Bible scholar, originally from Gisborne, and he has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad, and a lot for Muffin Talk. This interview is the last part of a series of interviews with Brother Kieran on the Gospel according to Luke. With the major feast days of the church behind us, Brother Kieran is preparing us for the next church year, which is going to start after the Feast of Christ the King in November. So one of the topics that comes up, one of the big themes of the Lucan Gospel, is the topic of prayer, the theme of prayer. Brother Kieran, what makes Luke unique among the Gospels in the theme or topic of prayer?
Well, remember when we studied Psalms, and there was a line that struck me, and it keeps coming back, and it is, how can we pray what we don't understand? And we've spent these 5 weeks looking at different aspects of the Gospel of Luke. But, you know, we can all read about prayer in a book, but what really matters is to pray. And it's interesting that in the search for an ever deeper life of communion with the Lord, praying and living in the spirit of the gospel is so essential. And we have this whole year of Luke lying ahead of us. And the Vatican Council document on Revelation, it said, look, prayer should accompany the reading of sacred scripture. That's number 25. But even with the early church, right from the beginning, it penetrated even more deeply under the action of the Spirit into the mystery of Jesus at prayer. And each gospel has something to say about Jesus in prayer. But Luke, of course, has got more references than any of the other gospels. And Luke's Jesus is the Spirit-filled prophet who proclaims the word, but that word he's listened to in silence. At the turning points of the unfolding of God's plan in Jesus' life, he presents us with a Jesus at prayer, at quiet prayer. And for Luke, the way to prayer is essentially to listen. And of course, that's embodied in Mary of Bethany, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his word. So it would be impossible to get a fuller understanding of prayer in Luke without considering and exploring the role of the Holy Spirit. That would be a whole topic on its own,
yes.
The work of the Spirit. And that's fundamental to any understanding of the Word of God and the mystery of prayer.
Brother Kieran, what you just said regarding the Jesus being at a crossroad and starting and withdrawing for prayer, isn't that what we are also taught, that when we have a very difficult decision, we have a discernment process, and then we go for prayer? We might not get the answer immediately because, as you said, prayer is about listening. Because if we don't listen, we don't hear the answer.
And remember, prayer is also about persevering.
Yes.
We come to that when we look at parables. Yes. So certainly the whole message is that the Holy Spirit is always given for any prayer. And I think that's the critical aspect of Luke's presentation is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always God's answer to prayer. So, and of course, we actually find that with the mother of Jesus. She's the actual exemplar of the practice that's becoming so popular of Lectio Divina, where you read and then you, what's it all about? Observation. Then you apply it to your own life and then you write a prayer out of it. But the wonderful line about Mary, and remember we actually did a session on Mary in the Gospel of Luke?
Yes.
It's the way it says she ponders this over in her heart in silent reflection. But with Mary, it always leads to action, like the visitation and so on. So, and for us, that same pondering, it leads to us in loving action towards those that are around us.
So you have
to prayer is action.
Right? You have the prayer, the listening, and then the action.
Absolutely. So yes.
So even now in the month of the Holy Rosary, it's the same thing that we can apply.
Oh, for real. Now that's an interesting thought for next for the month of the Rosary. And of course we have the Feast of the Holy Rosary coming up in a day or two. Right. Yes. So yes, we've certainly prayer right through the gospel.
So what are the key moments of prayer in the life and ministry of Jesus? We already talked about when he was at a crossroad that he withdrew for prayer. What do you think are the key moments of prayer in his life?
There's an overall theme of bringing in the reign of God. So all of this is contributing to the mission of Jesus. And at the peak points of his ministry, such as the baptism, only Luke tells us that Jesus was at prayer when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And interestingly, one of the fascinating things about that account is that just before it, John the Baptist got put in prison. So John the Baptist doesn't feature in Luke in the baptism of Jesus because the emphasis goes on Jesus at prayer and the Spirit descending. So, yes, that's quite a fascinating little piece about that. Now, Jesus is launched into his ministry by the power of the Spirit. And then as it moves on, the time comes when Jesus chooses the 12 apostles, but only Luke tells us that he spent the night in prayer. He was alone, and it was extended, protracted prayer in communion with the Father before the choice of the 12. And then, of course, you have a watershed moment at Caesarea Philippi, and that's a peak moment for the disciples' experience of Jesus, and he asks them the question of, who do people say that I am? And then, who do you say that I am? And then we move on to the Transfiguration. Now, that's interesting, because only Luke tells us that Jesus went up the mountain to pray. And while he was at prayer, he was transfigured. Now, isn't it interesting that it's a visible sign of the inner transformation of the action of God within us at prayer? We too can be transfigured by our own prayer and the depth that it moves us to and moves us within us.
Do you think that he went up the mountain to be on his own, to withdraw from the community? and to just, so it said he goes up on the mountain, and that's where the transfiguration happened.
Oh, but he did take Peter, Peter, James, and John with him.
Well, he asked them to stay with him, but they fell asleep, isn't it?
Now, that's really interesting because they fell asleep and then they woke up. But you know what's going on there is that in the early church, the transfiguration and the garden, the Gethsemane experience go together. So they fall asleep in that one, and that sleep gets transferred to the transfiguration as well. So if you're telling stories together, sometimes details do overflow into each other. Right. So, yes, but the element of prayer was certainly strongly there. And then finally, of course, we do have Jesus. Remember, only in Luke we get Jesus gives Peter the good news and bad news bit?
I don't remember. Yes. Can you repeat that part?
Oh, well, they've finished and they're on their way to the garden, to Gethsemane. Sometimes it's called Gethsemane. Sometimes it's called the Mount of Olives and so on. And different Gospels use different terms. But Luke records Jesus as on the way telling Peter the good news, bad news. Peter, you're going to betray me. No! But Peter, I have prayed for you that you will come back. See, Jesus praying for Peter. He knows Peter will deny him in the trial. So Jesus builds his church on the faith of Peter, and this in turn rests ultimately on the prayer of Jesus, recovery and future mission for Peter. So Jesus himself watches and prays in Gethsemane. Jesus is alone at prayer because the others are sleeping.
But that also means that the prayer after the prayer comes the action, so Peter has to be active afterwards.
Unfortunately, his action was not very good. But again, the beautiful scene only in Luke is that Peter's eyes meet the eyes of Jesus, full of love and forgiveness, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly. So the prayer of Jesus accomplishes the transformation that is needed.
But what I mean is, when if Peter is forgiven through the prayer of Jesus, Peter has to go out and act accordingly. So the prayer has been heard, and he has to go out and act.
Oh, yes, but you know what is so interesting? You know how in the other Gospels, the other synoptics, they all forsook him and fled? Well, actually, when it comes to the cross, Luke has all his acquaintances were there looking on from afar. Oh, so you can kind of see all his acquaintances would certainly include the disciples.
Yeah.
So, yes, you find 8 more references to prayer in Luke than you find in the other Gospels. So certainly it is the Gospel of prayer.
And last week we talked about parables, and the week before we also talked about parables. Yes. So Luke has also parables on prayer. So what are these?
Oh, yes.
What lessons?
Oh, those parables are, they are so interesting. You have the 2 great parables on prayer being the unjust judge and the widow. Persistence finally wins. And I love the Aramaic that says that the judge was quite concerned that she would blacken his eye. Maybe a good right cross.
Brother Kieran, can you tell that story about the widow?
Oh, yes, yes. There was a judge who neither feared God or had any respect for people. And there was the poor widow. See, the poor come in through the widow. And she had a claim, and the judge was just not interested in giving the judgment for her. So she persisted and pestered and bugged him so much. Finally, he gave in. And so, but see, it's interesting. The persistence is there, but there's some deeper elements because the following parable is the parable of the friend that comes at midnight, knocks on the door. Look, I've got a visitor and I've got to have some bread. And your wife was the last one to bake bread in the communal oven. So finally, he gets the bread and feeds the guests. But the persistence is there. But the other lovely part of it is that at the end of it, we have Luke puts in the question, what parent among you, having a child that asks for a fish and would give him a snake or her snake? And what parent among you, having a child that asks for an egg and you'd give them a scorpion, you see a curled up scorpion looking like an eel, like an egg? And the beauty is human emotion is suddenly brought in to these parables. And I think that the combination of the story and the human is so important, because that's what a parable really is. You get a story and then you get the human application of it. But the subtlety of bringing this human feeling of the parent to the child asking for something, that's an experience so many people have had, of course.
That happens every day, because people are asking for something and getting something else or not getting anything. And I think that's when you have to understand, what do they need? This widow that you were mentioning, she just wanted to have justice. She wanted to be respected, and her claim was to be heard. And just to tell her, leave us and we have no time for you, that's not helping.
Well, obviously, you know, look, if this can happen in that situation, you've got a loving father, a loving mother, Abba, Emma. Our God is a loving parent. And how much more would a loving father or loving mother who knows how many hairs you've got on your head, and I haven't got too many, but when a sparrow falls to the ground, how much more would a loving God care for us? Well, after all, we did look at the parables of compassion.
And we did look at the persistence of the woman who lost the coin. She was also persistent.
Yes, yes. And God is even more ready, far more ready. You take the extreme to make the point of the one who really is close and loving towards us. So those parables, we lay out. Oh, and of course, don't forget the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. The prayer of the tax collector, one of perfect trust and confidence in God, in our need for God's mercy and forgiveness. God is always ready to forgive. So we lay bare our spiritual poverty in prayer and place our trust in the infinite mercy of our God. I mean, the face of God that Jesus shows in Luke is always one of a listening and loving Father. The prodigal son, right? I mean, the prodigal father. That's much better. So, and then Luke gives us, I think, beautifully, the prayers on the lips of the dying Jesus, the forgiveness of enemies, the prayer of confidence and trust. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He puts into action what he has taught with regard to forgiveness throughout this gospel. And then, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's so beautiful. That's Psalm 31. And that line comes from Psalm 31. And it's so different from Mark and Matthew. My God, why have you forsaken me? Instead, in Luke, we've got that lovely prayer, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So, you know, listening and responding are themes that precede the teaching of the Our Father.
That's what I was just thinking with it. Our Father is also, when we said, whose father or mother would give a scorpion if a child asked for bread, for example? And you can also, and when you think of the Our Father, it says, your will be done. It doesn't say that I will give you this and this and this, but it says, your will be done.
Oh, I know. That sounds rather gentle and nice, but I found some fascinating stuff about it. Well, remember, we've got two versions, haven't we?
Well, tell us about the two versions. So there are one version in Luke and one in Matthew?
Yes, and of course, the way the Our Father was prayed in Matthew was in a Jewish Christian context. And it's very much like the benedictions that were prayed by the Jewish people, the 18 benedictions. And so we get the structured prayer in Matthew, which resembles very much the Jewish form of the prayer. And Luke, of course, he's got his own version. So you've got two communities praying the Our Father in two different versions. But it's marvelous because with Luke, you have an explosive Abba or Emma, God, loving parent. See, the Jesus that God knew within Jewish society would have been regarded as a loving father. So, yes, but we know that God is neither male, God is neither female, but God has all the beautifulest attributes. Because after all, in Genesis, we were made in God's image.
Yeah.
But this father, he's just an explosive father. There's no owl. But when you say father, you have to accept that everybody is your brother or sister.
And Brother Kieran, which version are we praying?
We're praying Luke. Oh, we're praying Matthew's version because Matthew is the gospel of the church. But look, it's interesting that we're in that relationship. But May your kingdom, May in Aramaic is much stronger. May is a weak translation. It's done well, gotta happen, Lord. And I love this, the expressive force. It's do it, do it, right?
Brother Kieran, when you say this may it so and so, I think that that reminds me of Genesis and the creation of the world. And may it be light or let it be light. I think in some languages it's the same word, let it be light or may it be light.
Yep, do it. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. Yeah. Right. So, do it. Bring about your name being held holy. Bring about your reign on earth. And make sure that we've got enough food, we've got enough sustenance, and enough forgiveness, and you've got to rescue us from overwhelming tribulations. So darn well do it. And I think we ought to pray with a bit more confidence, don't you think? I mean, look at our world, dear God. And I like, each morning I like to get up and say, Holy Spirit, is the world a bit better?
So, I think that yes. this confidence can work if you really trust in the person you are talking to. And if you trust in the loving Father, then you can speak in confidence about what you want and what you think the world needs.
And what you're going to do, because we are called as a community to pray as a beachhead of the kingdom or the dream, the reign of God, and in this present world, and reclaim it for life and for humanity. So if we're going to pray the Our Father, we tell God to do it, and we got to give him a God hand with it. So, yes, the Our Father is certainly, it's a model for perfect prayer. And, you know, it immediately follows Mary and Martha. Now, all right, Mary is certainly the one who, you know, she's got the priority of listening. But the other thing, too, is I look at Martha, and Jesus doesn't growl or condemn Martha. And I've always loved the very wise line from Teresa of Avila that the Lord is found among the pots and pans. I like that, right?
So yeah. if you connect it to Mary and Martha and you have then the words, give us our daily bread.
Yeah.
That's quite significant if you have it just after Martha complaining that Mary doesn't help her to prepare the meal.
Somebody's got to cook that bread, yes. The other interesting thing is that sometimes in translations, on some of the manuscripts, there was a line that, give us our bread for tomorrow. And in a way, it's sort of looking to the future. It's almost looking to the end time banquet. It's also, it could incorporate the Eucharist. All of these things are sort of tied up. There's such a richness. And I think it's always nice. Tertullian called the Our Father a summary of the whole gospel in prayer form. And in a way, it's the the prayer of the kingdom, and of course, the prayer of the reign of God, the prayer of the dream of God for our world that Jesus came to show us. So yes, the God is the primary agent at work. The kingdom of God, I always like to say, it's God's deed answering human need with Christ's seed.
Oh, can you say that again?
God's deed answering human need with Christ's seed.
Beautiful. These are beautiful words to finish the interview for today. And that's the last interview of this series on the Gospel according to Luke. And everybody's welcome to join us for more depth into this topic of prayers in the Gospel according to Luke next Monday, the 11th of October, 7 to 8:30. And that'll be on Zoom. And you just have to get in touch with us at studyjoy.nz or send an email at info@studyjoynz.nz. So please listen. Come and join us, and Brother Kieran is finalizing this series on the Gospel according to Luke, and in fact, the 18th of October, 1 week later, is then the day, the feast day of St. Luke. Isn't this good timing? So for the feast day of St. Luke, we are all prepared after having learned about Luke. Thank you so much, Brother Kieran.
So pray well, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Out there, oh, peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world a new day dawning and shining. Are the song.